I'm Peter Suderman, and this is The Reason Rundown, the podcast to end your week. Thanks for listening. Just in time for the midterm elections, the Biden administration says millions of college grads don't have to pay back their student loans.
Honestly, I thought that I would have that debt forever and that it would just kind of be with me until I died. So it's been a huge relief.
This week, President Joe Biden announced a plan to cancel up to $10,000 in student debt for individual borrowers making less than $125,000 a year and two-income households making up to $250,000 a year. Pell Grant recipients would be eligible for up to $20,000 in debt cancellation. This would completely eliminate student loan debt for millions. Yet some progressives say it still doesn't go far enough. They've pushed President Biden to cancel up to $50,000 in debt for most borrowers, citing equity concerns.
$10,000 is not enough, but it's a start, right? If we're going to cancel $10,000 now, we got to make sure that we can cancel $10,000 again and again and again until we hit that mark of $50,000 or more, right?
But canceling student debt would exacerbate inequities rather than rectify them. On average, a young college grad makes about $22,000 more a year than a 20-something with only a high school diploma. Even with an income cap, the vast majority of the benefits of Biden's loan cancellation program will accrue to borrowers in the top 60% of the income distribution.
It would definitely help being able to pay for rent and not have to worry about, like, your student loans.
There are people who have paid off their student loan debt who worked hard to do that. There are others who worked hard to save and who didn't incur any student loan debt. And they're looking like fools right now because they played along with the system.
There are other problems, too. The one-time plan would increase federal debt by at least $300 billion and possibly more like $500 billion, effectively wiping out all the expected deficit reduction from the Inflation Reduction Act that Biden signed earlier this month. Nor does Biden have the legal authority to cancel student debt without congressional authorization. Don't take my word for it. That's what Democratic Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi said last summer.
People think that the President of the United States has the power for debt forgiveness. He does not. He can postpone, he can delay, but he does not have that power. That has to be an act of Congress.
Yet President Biden is doing it. Here to talk with me today is Reason Assistant Editor Emma Camp. Camp has been writing about Biden's student loan policies for Reason, and she is a recent college grad herself.
Mr. President, is this unfair to people who paid their student loans or chose not to take out loans?
Is it fair to people who, in fact, do not own multi-billion dollar businesses and see why these guys give them all the tax breaks? Is that fair? What do you think?
Emma, Biden says his plan is aimed at helping the working and middle class, but his plan provides debt forgiveness for 200 households making up to $250,000 a year. That doesn't sound much like the middle class to me. Is this really going to help struggling low-income people?
Probably not. Like, yes, it will help some of them, like the number of people who have college degrees, for example, yet are still struggling to make a sufficient income. But that's a fairly small number of people. The fact of the matter is this is basically going to be an income transfer from a lower income group to a higher income group, and that this will be paid for by the taxpayers. People with college educations make more than the average American. And so when this is paid for by the taxpayers, what will essentially happen is a group that makes less money will have their income transferred to a group that makes more money. This really doesn't make much sense for most people. A college education is a good investment. And, you know, I'm not really sure it's the role of the government to reward people for making a good decision.
So up until now, people who took on student debt have always had to pay back their loans. They couldn't even discharge them through bankruptcy. Paying back loans often meant working long hours, budgeting carefully, making other sacrifices, or even making choices that, as Elizabeth Nolan Brown wrote for Reason this week, choices that might disadvantage them professionally. These people agreed to pay back the money they borrowed, and then eventually they went ahead and do it. But now people who happen to have outstanding student debt right before the 2022 midterms are being given a pass. How is that fair?
The answer is that it's not. I think it is also worth noting, this hasn't come up very much, but not only does this only benefit people who have student debt right now, therefore it doesn't benefit people who, say, paid off their loans, it also doesn't benefit people who are about to go to college or about to take on student loan debt. You know, I believe I saw a figure this week that says that I believe in about 6 years, we're going to be at the same level of student debt that we are right now. This does nothing for, say, my little brother who's about to start college this semester. It does nothing for the people who toiled for years to pay off their student debt. There's really no long-term plan here. This seems to be a one-time thing that's going to benefit a select number of people, but it does absolutely nothing to reduce the high price of a college education, which is the whole reason why we have a student debt crisis in the first place, which is that college costs way too much.
Yeah, this is a one-time deal that is just coincidentally happening right before a midterm election in which Democrats sort of see themselves as underdogs, as struggling in some of the polls. But you talked about the sort of the lack of a long-term plan here. Doesn't this create some pretty perverse incentives to deploy this sort of policy again in the future? How is this sustainable? What happens 5 years from now or 10 years from now when the level of student debt has risen back up to what it is today?
No, this is a terrible idea, and it does create really perverse incentives. If it does show itself to be politically advantageous for Democrats, we'll see how they actually perform in the midterms, to forgive student debt. We could end up being in a process where college is still costing, you know, way too much. It's way too expensive. Schools, in fact, inflate their tuition prices once they see that debt is being forgiven. And then we just have these waves of debt forgiveness, which is the stupidest and most expensive way to solve the problem of college being far too expensive. And so if this ends up being a trend, it would just be insanely expensive and will either or probably do both, you know, massively increase our national deficit and, you know, end up showing itself up in the tax bills of Americans without the immense privilege that is being college educated.
So in some ways, this $300 billion or $500 billion, depending on which estimate you're looking at, could just be a starter payment on student loans here. It could, I mean, if this policy is repeated and extended over the course of many years, this could end up costing a lot more than the estimates we've already seen.
Oh, yes. And it's very easy to imagine this becoming recurring again, you know, when 2028 rolls around and we have the same amount of debt as we had and, you know, kids who started college this semester are suddenly facing large student debt burdens. And then they're demanding, you know, I won't vote for you unless you pay off my student loans. A president, you know, provided that, you know, it's a Democrat looking for reelection, might just do it again.
And part of that is because college graduates are particularly powerful in that most people who make policy have college degrees, but also they are powerful within the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party has increasingly become the party of the college-educated class. And so in a way, this is a targeted giveaway to a cohort that votes not exclusively, but heavily Democratic, which is young college-educated voters. This seems very much just like a political stunt, not a policy aimed at actually making any sort of system better over the long term.
No, precisely. I mean, I think the strongest kind of base for the Democrats right now are the downwardly mobile educated, right? It's the people who came from kind of affluent middle, upper middle class backgrounds with progressive parents who, for whatever reason, decided to take on an obscene amount of student debt and, you know, are finding themselves without the ability to live the life that their parents lived and are bitter over that. Even if a lot of the reason why that is the case is because they made certain bad choices. For example, taking out $250,000 in student loan debt to go to a ritzy liberal arts school when you could have gone to a state university, something like that. You know, getting a degree that isn't going to help you get a job. These kind of choices are suddenly, you know, they kind of correlate with people who are more likely to vote Democrat. And so it's the people who have the most student loan debt for kind of the stupidest reasons that are fueling the political drive to forgive student loans.
One of the arguments here is that this is a way of fighting back against the increasing cost of a college education. Do you think that argument makes sense?
No, not at all. I think for starters, if we are going to spend some obscene amount of money, like $500 billion, I saw an estimate said $900 million on college education.
So I think $900 billion was actually, if Biden goes ahead and cancels $50,000 worth of debt, which he has not done yet. But there is pressure from the same groups who were pressuring the administration to cancel $10,000 of debt.
Well, then $500 billion, $300 billion on education. Like, we should just do it on making college education cost less. Like, if we are going to spend all that money, I don't think we should. Like, the much better way of doing it would be subsidizing college tuition in some way. However, there is an even more effective and cheaper way of reducing the cost of college tuition, which is phasing out the federal student loan program. The whole reason why college education has really dramatically risen in price above inflation is because students have a basically bottomless pit of money on which to draw on to pay tuition, right? If we didn't have federal student loans, you'd get loans from a bank, but it's a lot of times banks will deny your loans. They'll say, no, we're not going to give you $200,000 to major in music or whatever. And so schools couldn't charge as much as they do now because students weren't going to attend if they didn't have the money to give them. Now, they're
It's not just students who have that bottomless pit of money. It's colleges themselves,
right,
and the administrators there who end up, those student loan programs end up subsidizing college, which means that college can grow more expensive without students necessarily feeling the burden directly. And so it is the student loan program itself, which was more or less taken over by the federal government as part of Obamacare, weirdly, in 2010. And it is the existence of these federal loans that has driven up the cost of college to begin with. And so this is the federal government, in some ways, saying that they are fixing a problem that the federal government helped cause to begin with.
No, precisely. And I think it's also worth noting that why college got so expensive is that colleges are now spending their money on these kind of frivolous things. For example, at Yale, there are more administrators than undergraduates. Most of these people are doing jobs that are not strictly necessary. You know, one of the reasons why college in Europe, for example, is much cheaper is that they don't have nearly as many of the bells and whistles that you find in American universities. They have fewer administrators, you know, they don't have gyms. They don't have, for example, UVA, my alma mater, has the largest hot tub on the East Coast, which is a complete waste of money that is not necessary at all for a college tuition or for a college education. So, yes, this is basically, this whole problem was created by the federal government. And the way that they need to fix it is going to the source of the problem, which is the federal student loan program. Instead, they're just spending more money to fix a problem they created in a way that doesn't actually create a solution.
Texas Tech has a great water park on campus.
Oh my God.
There's a lazy river. If you look at it, it's like, oh man, it's hot. It's summer. I just want to go there. So you've also written about the Biden administration's previous programs to forgive student loans. They have already forgiven billions of dollars worth of student loans through existing programs, right? Yeah. Tell me just a little bit about that and how the policies up till now have worked.
So earlier this summer, the Biden administration announced about an $85 billion kind of expansion of these pre-existing loan forgiveness programs. One of the more well-known ones is the Borrower Defense Program. So this is basically forgiving the loans of people who were defrauded by colleges they attended. So think about for-profit universities. This also includes schools that closed while the students were there. So
a school that closed, I can see that as a sort of fraudulent promise, right? Like they made a promise that they were going to deliver on an education. What does it mean to defraud a student, though? What's the definition there?
So a lot of times these schools would say that, you know, some number, I'll just use one for an example, like 90% of our graduates find employment after graduation in their field when that is not true. You know, they overestimate or lie about the amount of money you can expect to make. They might overestimate, you know, or lie to students about the value of the degree. You know, a lot of these schools, the degrees you get from them are not worth the paper they're written on. They don't help you get a job. You know, for example, you hear of students who get a nursing degree and no hospital will ever hire them because they've never touched a patient, right? And so that's kind of the definition of defrauding used here. You also have a program for people with permanent and total disabilities. So for example, someone who takes on loans, but then they become disabled in some way that they cannot work, and therefore they cannot work to pay off their student loans. You also have the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, which was expanded and had a couple changes made to it. So this program basically exists for people who take certain public service jobs to have their loans expunged after a certain number of years of on-time payments. I believe that number is 10 years. These include things like teachers, doctors at nonprofit hospitals, lawyers at public interest firms. And so a big problem with this program is that it assumes that people in public service occupations don't make any money or don't have a stable employment, which is just not true in a lot of cases. You know, a cardiologist at a nonprofit hospital could still make $500,000 a year, right?
Poor and struggling.
You know, a lawyer, you know, these are people often with advanced degrees. You know, some, yes, of course, some lawyers in public interest firms don't make that much money, but what you can do is work in one for a few years and then go work for big law or whatever and basically make lots of money and have all your loans forgiven. And also, this program also changed what payments they count as legitimate payments. Before, it had to be a certain number of years of on-time payments and kind of complete payments. Now, if they're late, they count. If they're lower than the minimum amount, even with an income-based repayment plan, they count. And so this whole package cost about $85 billion, which is certainly nothing to sniff at.
So that's cheap compared to what Biden announced.
Right, but
this
it's still extremely cheap in comparison.
Like, yes, $85 billion is a lot of money. And so this $300 billion package, or $500 billion, I guess, now, with the additional sort of add-ons, the Pell Grants, that sort of thing that were announced as part of this week, Biden's package of student loan forgiveness comes on top of billions and billions of dollars that have already been put toward loan forgiveness. So I want to ask about the legal authority here, because this has been one of the sort of interesting points of debate. What reason do we have to think that Biden has the legal authority to do this? Nancy Pelosi, not, you know, Mitch McConnell, not, you know, somebody, some Republican, you know, House Freedom Caucus member. Nancy Pelosi, of all people, last year said quite clearly that Biden does not have the authority to completely forgive the loans. She said he does have the authority to postpone payments, but he can't completely forgive them. So how is the Biden administration justifying this decision that even senior people in the Democratic Party say is illegal?
Yeah, I don't really know. It seems like what's happening is that the Biden administration is kind of asking for forgiveness rather than for permission. I think they're just doing it and hoping that a federal judge doesn't strike it down. You know, and if they do, at least they tried, right? They still get the political points for trying, even if a, you know, mean, terrible federal judge says that they can't do it for whatever reason. So I think I think the political points alone probably make it worth it, even if it turns out to be completely illegal.
So the story that I have seen is that the Biden administration's legal justification rests on post-9/11 powers meant to allow the administration to forgive certain student loans in national emergencies. And it was meant for, like, I don't know, firefighters who, like, rushed into, you know, the World Trade Center, that sort of thing, like emergency workers, if I understand correctly, like a fairly small group of people who, you know, we might legitimately say are national heroes, not the, you know, basically anyone in the country who is under a certain income threshold. But it's an emergency because COVID is still happening. And so this is sort of that's the Biden administration's justification, at least as far as I understand it. It does seem to be them basically doing what you're saying and just going ahead and doing it because the base wants it. And then this may or may not end up being challenged in court. Certainly, people are going to look for ways to do so. You are a recent college grad. So I want to talk about your personal experience here. Can I ask, do you have student loans?
I do not.
How did that happen?
So how that happened is that I basically took my whole kind of college application process. My whole goal was to not get student loan debt under any circumstances. And so, you know, based off of my scores and my grades and my other achievements in high school, you know, I stood a pretty good chance of getting into one of the lower ranked Ivies. You know, I was a pretty high achieving high school student. But, you know, I was
in a
situation.
Did you actually apply? Or?
Well, I ended up not applying because I realized I was in the situation that a lot of other basically middle class kids find themselves in. I had four younger siblings. You know, I wasn't low income. A lot of these schools are extremely generous for low income students. UVA, for example, the school I ended up going to is basically free if you're low income. But that financial aid cuts off pretty quickly. And so you can still be in a situation where your parents have no ability to pay $250,000 for you to go to college. but you're not getting any financial aid. And so I realized, especially because I did have so many younger siblings to kind of look after, I realized I was in a situation that if I attended one of these schools, if I basically went to college without a generous merit scholarship, I would have to take on an obscene amount of student loans. And I almost immediately realized I was not going to do that. Like, my pride wasn't worth it. Like, getting to tell people that I went to Dartmouth or whatever would under no circumstances be worth six figures of student loan debt. And so I didn't pursue that path. I only applied to schools that gave merit scholarships. And I was very lucky. I ended up getting a scholarship to UVA, which is a great school. And I feel very, very lucky that I was able to go there. But if I had not gotten that scholarship, I would have gone to the University of Alabama, which offers very generous scholarships based on your ACT score.
Because you grew up in Alabama.
Because I grew up in Alabama. That's my local state university. And I would have been, you know, my assumption for a lot of my kind of college application process was I would have ended up going to the University of Alabama. And if for some reason I had not gotten a scholarship to the University of Alabama, I would have gone to community college.
So you made choices.
Yes, I did.
That kept you out of debt.
Yes.
When it turns out you could have made choices that would have gotten you into debt, and the Biden administration, because you graduated from college this year, right?
I did.
The Biden administration would have canceled maybe not all of it if you'd gone to a very expensive school, probably not all of it, but some amount of that debt, and possibly more if this sort of thing gets repeated in the future.
Yes. I think this is a weird way of, I wouldn't say punishing, because I think for me personally, I ended up in a really, really great situation that I feel very grateful for. But I think it does punish a lot of people who made good choices, who made financially prudent choices, who, you know, chose to go to community college for two years before going to a state university to make their college education, you know, the least expensive as possible, you know, gives a little bit of a handout to people who didn't do that. And you know, I think that does create a little bit of a perverse incentive. You know, I think there are kind of two main categories of people who take on student loan debt, like those for whom it was a good investment, right? You know, the people who take on 20K, 30K of debt to go to a state university, get a degree in engineering, whatever, like that's a really good investment. That student debt is totally worth it. And the people for whom it is not worth it. And among those people, a lot of them should have known better, right? And I think, you know, and maybe some of it, frankly, is bad parenting. My parents also said, like, under no circumstances should you take on more than, like, $10,000 in student loan debt. Like, you shouldn't do that. Like, they basically said, like, you should not do this, right? And I listened to my parents. But a lot of it is also, you know, I don't think the average 17-year-old is so stupid that they don't realize that $200,000 or even $50,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah, I agree that it can be difficult to understand what you're getting into when you're 17 or 18 years old. At the same time, at some point in life, people need to be expected to start making adult decisions. And the point at which you are deciding where to go to college and how you're going to pay for it seems like a pretty good point at which we can expect people, especially people who are going to college, if you are going to college, you are in some ways, you are setting yourself up at least to be better off than most of the country. I mean, just on average, you will make more money, not just in your 20s, but over the course of a lifetime. I think it's something like $900,000 on average extra in earnings for a man, and something like $650,000 for a woman on average if they have a college degree. And so it does seem to me like it's on the one hand true that it's difficult to make big decisions when you're 17 or 18 years old. And yet, people who are going to college need to be expected to make decisions like adults. But also, I think your point about perverse incentives is really the right one. Whether or not we think of this as punishing people who made good decisions, certainly Biden's policy announcement this week produces incentives to make bad decisions going forward, especially given the likelihood that this sort of thing will be repeated or there will be pressure to repeat this sort of thing in the future. That's all the time we have this week. If you want to read more from Emma Camp, her piece, Biden's New Student Loan Forgiveness Plan Mostly Helps People Who Don't Need It, is now up at Reason.com. As always, if you like this show, please remember to subscribe and recommend it to friends. And if you like Reason's work generally, you can support us at reason.com/donate. That's reason.com/donate. I'm Peter Suderman, and this has been the Reason Rundown.